I'm going to ask Rob to now say a few words as the new chairman of CEDA. I can say that now without fear of contradiction.
Thank you.
It's all yours, buddy.
My appointment as the next chair, taking over from Jim, was announced in mid-July. And 10 days later, after that announcement, my wife and I were in China again, as Jim, he'd already rugged me earlier in the year in China, and I was back. And we were going to the wedding of a Chinese friend. And we were in a city called Zhengzhou, a city I never heard of until I met this friend. And I was... Actually, I'd be surprised. Has anybody here of Zhengzhou? Anybody here heard of it? One. Yeah. So I was quite intrigued to, you know, what would it be like when I got there? Well, we arrived to find a city of 7 million people. How can you have a city of 7 million people you've never heard of? It was thriving. It was energetic. It was self-confident. There was a new airport, a highway into the town, and highways out of the town. New shopping malls, new housing developments that would have our construction industry salivating for the opportunities that they offered, and there was even a brand new iconic museum. And this was no tier one city. This wasn't the Shanghais or the Beijings or the Tianjins that you hear about in the articles. This is a city in the center of China. 3 days later, after the wedding, my wife and I got on a train. A fast train, fast new track, driven through the mountains, 500 kilometers to the north, to another city. This time, I'd never heard of it until I'd booked the ticket. This city was called Taiyuan. Who's heard of Taiyuan? Not even Robert this time. No takers. One. Well, good. 3 million people this time. Leafy streets, another brand new airport, and energetic, self-confident, a new mall opened full of Italian designer shops, and another new museum. And I thought to myself, what a better start to my role can I have than to come and see this at first hand? Because when you see what is happening in China, and as Jim intimated, I have traveled a lot to China, but it's mirrored elsewhere in the developing world, you realize just what we're up against in Britain and in the Southeast, and how critical it is that we get ourselves ready to emerge from the recession in a state fit to compete with these countries, because they are pressing ahead and they are growing. But actually, I'm not daunted by this challenge. I'm delighted to be taking on this role at CEDA at the moment. I'm excited by it, because I am absolutely confident that we can compete. We have real strengths in the Southeast. We've heard references to them today. Our advanced manufacturing, our financial sector, despite its woes, still strong. Aerospace, health, we heard about creative industries, digital media. And behind all of these are the higher education and research establishments, which are key enablers for the other sectors, but actually are critical sector and businesses in their own right. And they give us great strengths. Now, this list is not comprehensive, and please don't put up your hands and say, what about X? But you get my meaning. We have the means to compete. But the important thing is to make sure that we actually do that. You've heard Jim talk about what we've done to help our regional economy. And my job is now to take over that baton from Jim and ensure that we continue to support these industries in the region, particularly those that are going to lead us out of the recessions, the ones we mentioned. Now, we've become used to talking of the Southeast England as the powerhouse of the UK economy. And I can't resist just using that word locomotive again. I mean, it was famous from the first chairman here who used to talk about, and he used to deliver it with a Churchillian rhetoric of, in fact, it's a combination, if I recall, of Viscount Montgomery of Alamein and Churchill, about that the Southeast is the locomotive that pulls the train that is the economy of the United Kingdom. And we must make sure the tracks are clear and that train, that locomotive, is not derailed. And there's a serious point there, because you can't have a thriving UK economy without a thriving Southeast. We must never forget that. I mean, Paul has made the point that this is the region that pays the taxes, that keeps the rest of the country going. I mean, that's blunt, but that's essentially what it is. And Jim reminded us earlier as well, the predictions of an upside-down recession where the Southeast would finally get its comeuppance have so far proved wrong. The Southeast is resilient. Its industry has proved resilient. And we should never forget that this resilience comes from the individuals who run and work in these businesses across the region. It's the businesses that create the wealth here. Our job is to help to support them and give them that nudge. Exactly the point that Chris made, that when the market isn't quite there, then that's where we step in and make a difference. So I'm clear that CEDA's two priorities in the last year of supporting sound businesses to survive the upturn and to invest in the region to prepare for the future have been the right ones. Earlier, Pam described the real help that CEDA has provided to businesses and people, and I'd like to thank all of you in this room and those beyond who've helped us with that and to deliver that, and to give us that focus that we've needed over the last year to make a difference. For the future, let me give you a few examples of how I see it and how it will shape my priorities for CEDA. Firstly, and echoing what has been said earlier, it has never been more important to ensure that our businesses can compete in this global economy. We heard earlier that CEDA had played a part in securing 90 of the 250 foreign direct investment successes in the region last year. That's a great result, but we need to do more in what is going to be a very competitive world for this foreign investment. We'll need to back that up with really driving innovation to ensure that businesses retain their competitive edge. We've had questions on innovation and how we're going to do it. And it's still the case that there are too many islands of innovation in the Southeast, really world-class facilities that set the pace in key technologies, but which don't then interconnect as well as they could with other businesses, other public areas as well, that could exploit that knowledge. We need to make sure that we get these linkages in place. Secondly, we have to keep up the drive to help business improve productivity and to create employment opportunities. The Southeast is the UK's leading manufacturing region on the measures that really count, like value added and in exports. And that's happened because manufacturing productivity is higher in the Southeast than any other UK region. So continuing productivity improvements must be a key focus for business support across the Southeast. And a key element of that is ensuring that our people and our businesses have the skills they need, coming back to the question about despite the problems of the capital investment, our FE colleges, our HE colleges, our schools are critical in working together to deliver we need a coherent structure to deliver the right skills that we need, the right training at all levels across our regional economy. Thirdly, we need to translate our commitments to sustainable prosperity into practical steps towards a low-carbon economy. And if we're wondering what the driver of the future is going to be look like, that's as the global upturn comes, I think the answer is staring us in the face. Now, those three priorities, global competitiveness, productivity, and a real commitment to sustainable prosperity are not new. You'll recognize them as the three objectives of the regional economic strategy, which we all agreed 3 years ago in very different circumstances. So this is all about learning and adapting rather than a completely new point of departure. It's also about investing in places. I welcome the opportunity to work beside the local authorities to agree our investment priorities and to align our efforts. We can make a real contribution to regeneration by targeting our investment in key business infrastructures, whether that's a university centre, a new R&D facility, or transforming a major site. And Paul was showing us some of the investment opportunities that there have been in Kent, where we worked together and cooperated. As for CEDA itself, we're going into the future leaner and more focused. I'm personally acutely aware that we're spending taxpayers' money. And as budgets are trimmed, we must make sure that as an organization, we are fit for purpose and we deliver real value for money. Pam has touched on that, and I'll continue to make sure that Pam and her team have the support of the board to see it through. Jim, you've been a tireless champion of the Southeast during your 8 years on the board and 7 years as chairman. And I just want to add my thanks to those of all the others for what you've achieved and what you've done. You're going to be a hard act to follow. I'm acutely conscious of that. But before handing over to Keith to say a few more words about Jim, I just want to say to you that I am equally determined to help the Southeast get through this recession and be ready for the upturn. I want to continue to work with all our partners and other stakeholders across the region in a constructive and pragmatic way that I feel I'm inheriting. And I'm not going to be diverted from that by the political climate and the uncertainties ahead. You know, politicians will make their decisions. I'm a businessman. My job is to make sure we get on with our business and that we as an organisation, an agency, are as effective and efficient as possible in delivering those things that we can deliver. So I look forward to meeting some of you over lunch. I look forward to working with all of you in the years ahead. I'm always ready to listen and I'm always ready to engage. Thank you.